My subject, the title of this message is actually the last verse of our reading. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But I debated about several titles: the grace of giving, the stewardship of grace, some scriptural words about giving. There are just a lot of titles that I could have given. And due to a discussion that my son and I had, along with some other men last night, I decided to bring this message tonight. I thought it might be helpful to you. Perhaps I've neglected to speak on this subject as I ought. But here in Proverbs 30, there's a scripture I want to read that is very meaningful. Proverbs 30, beginning with verse 7. Now, I want you to mark up your Bible a little bit. Don't be afraid to mark your Bible. While I was sitting there, this scripture came to my mind. I couldn't remember where it was found, but I remembered that I had it marked, and it was on the left side of the left page down near the bottom. Do you read? And that's the reason I have to have the same kind of Bible every time. Don't change the make of your Bible. Get the same kind every time. It helps you find things. I don't know what chapter or verse that is, but I knew it was on the left-hand side of the left page in Proverbs down near the bottom, and there it is. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient, my allowance, what I need for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Give me neither poverty, lest I steal, and give me neither riches, lest I forget God. Now, over in Acts chapter 20, and that's what we're dealing with tonight. We're dealing with the grace of giving, the stewardship of grace. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul closes this farewell message to the elders of Ephesus. He called together the elders of Ephesus, beloved brethren. Their hearts beat as one. They worshiped God together for a long time. He loved them. They loved him. They knew that they'd never see his face again. They knew they'd never hear him preach again. And he knew that. He knew he was going to his death. The Holy Spirit had told them he was going to his death. And they knew this was the last sermon he had ever preached to them. Don't you know how attentive they must have been? And don't you know how determined Paul must have been to sum up his ministry in that one message? Suppose, Jay or I or some of you other men, Joe, Bruce, some of you fellas, Jim, this, Bill, the last time you would speak publicly. You'd try to sum her up, wouldn't you? Try to leave something with the folks. Well, that's what he did. He left something with them. He said back here in verse 19, he says, I've served the Lord with humility. It's a grace we need to learn, isn't it? Our gifts are borrowed. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Our gifts are borrowed, and the same one who gave them can take them away. I serve the Lord with humility. Who maketh thee to differ? I'm nothing. Paul says, I am nothing. And then down in verse 20, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, neither for fear of men, neither for the praise of men, neither for possessions or material gain. I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. And then down here in verse 24, he says, talked about how they persecuted him and mocked him and hated him. But he says, these things don't move me, and I don't count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In verse 27, he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I didn't leave something off because it was high doctrine or low doctrine. I didn't leave it off because it ought not be preached here or there. I didn't leave it off because it would be offensive. I preached it. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then in verse 33, he says, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I haven't coveted what you have. I've coveted you for my Lord. That's what Paul is saying to them. He said, with these own hands I ministered unto my necessities and also for them that were with me. And then the closing words of this great message, Paul spoke of his, the fact he'd served among them with a consciousness of his own unworthiness. He said, I come to you with fear and trembling, and I've served the Lord with humility, and I've not coveted anything you've had, you have. I've preached unto you what God revealed to me. I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. And then he closed with this, I've showed you all things, verse 35, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. You ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this exhortation, as I look at it, it's more blessed to give than to receive. As I look at it, it's not limited to money and goods, material goods. I think we'll do the statement an injustice if we limit it only to money and only to material goods. I think a lot of us would like to perhaps limit it to that. We'll pay our way and we're not going to put forth any effort along any other line. I remember a preacher telling me one time that he was standing out in front of the church one day, church building much like this one. It had a gable front on it, and it was wood. And there was wood around the trim, but he was standing there with several men of the church, prominent men, deacons, leaders of the church, four or five or six of them. A conference was coming up. And he said to one of the men, who was incidentally retired, there were two or three other men standing there who were able-bodied retired men, and he said, you know, before the conference, I believe we ought to paint the front of this building. It'd look better, and we could just get our buckets and ladders and paintbrushes and come out here together and have some fellowship and paint the building. And one of the leading deacons said, oh, no, oh, no. He said, I give my tithe. And he said, let the church hire somebody and pay for it. And he said, that way it won't be a burden on any of us. We'll let everybody share in it, you know. Well, see, that's limited. He did give. He boasted the fact he gave his tithe, which he did. I've known him for 20 years. And he always did give, but that's about it. And sometimes we'd like to pay our way and not render any other service or any other gift. So this verse cannot be limited to paying our way. It's more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, I believe it encompasses. The principle of this text encompasses, Brother Jay, the giving of myself. The giving of myself. And I mean by that this. I mean words of encouragement. Kind words of encouragement. Words of affection. I think we can plank down our money in the offering plate, come in and sit, give money in the offering plate, support missionaries, support the tape ministry, support the TV ministry, support the pastors here and the young ministers and all these things, and not encourage one another. Scripture talks about exhorting one another, encouraging one another, expressing appreciation for one another. Like Paul's always saying, I thank God, brethren beloved, for you. I love you in Christ. Words of affection, words of encouragement, words of exhortation, giving of myself, sometimes. See, so money is a whole lot easier to give than ourselves. It's a whole lot easier. We can throw the money down and walk out. That takes 1 second. Giving myself sometimes takes a little more effort. I'm talking about my hands to assist someone. I'm talking about my prayers to intercede. Have you carried somebody on your heart today? Have you carried somebody on your heart this week? Have you wept for them and prayed for them and felt for them and grieved for them and interceded for them? Well, giving money is a lot easier than that. Prayer is hard work. Carrying burdens is hard work. It's heartbreaking work. It's burdensome work. But that's what I'm talking about, my visits to comfort. my visits to comfort, the sharing of my hospitality. Some of you miss a blessing because you don't throw the doors of your home open to strangers and to visitors and to folks who are passing through. It's such a blessing to share your table and to share your bedroom and to share your den and to share your living room and to share the food God gives you and to see someone sit at your table and enjoy. It's a whole lot easier to pay somebody to take care of. But it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so when I'm looking at this verse, I'm not looking at a cash and carry plan altogether. I know it includes that. We'll get to that in a few moments. But I'm talking about it's more blessed to give of myself. And I really believe this. I believe that the giving of prayer and the giving of myself and the giving of my hands and my heart and the giving of all my affections and the giving of my encouragement brings a greater blessing than the giving of my cash. But primarily, I suppose our study will be taken up with the stewardship of goods, because that seems to be most of the things that are implied here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. But please give that some thought. Please give that some thought. I'm saying this, that this scripture, and I've said this so many times, and believe me, I'm not just talking from theory. I'm not just talking from something that I read in a theology book. I'm talking from the scripture and from experience. That if you make someone happy, you'll find happiness. If you somehow, through your efforts and your kindness and your affections and your reaching out if you can somehow bring pleasure and joy and happiness to some heart, I just know if you got a heart at all, it'll bless it. It'll bless it. And this giving, this more blessed to give is not just materially speaking. It's more blessed to give of myself than it is to receive, because in giving I do receive. Many folk. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. And in chapter 12, Paul has been talking about what we call the gifts. 7, 8, or 9 gifts, whatever they are, the gifts of the Spirit. And he says in verse 31 of chapter 12, we're to covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I you a more excellent way. More excellent way to do what? More excellent way to worship God. A more excellent way to preach the gospel. A more excellent way to ministry. That's what he's talking about. So what are gifts used for? The gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of ministry, gifts of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll show you a better way to minister the word. I'll show you a better way to worship God. I'll show you a better way to serve other Christians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, he's just been talking about the gift of tongues. I may speak with tongues, but if I don't have love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, he's been talking about the gift of prophecy, interpretation and so forth. And though I understand the mysteries and have knowledge and have faith, the gift of faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, profiteth me nothing. So do you challenge my belief that this more blessed to give than to receive encompasses myself and not just my goods? I may give my goods. I may give my goods. I may give my opinion. I may give my advice. I may give my prophecies and my sermons and my preaching. But if I have not love, I haven't given one blessed thing. That's what he said. I haven't given one blessed thing till I can learn to give of myself. Because God doesn't build his temple. You see, his temple's not built on gold and silver. His temple's built on Christ the cornerstone and made up of living stones, human people who give of themselves. If all it was to it was just cash and carry, then God would build a silver and a gold temple. But it's a living temple of living stones. Let's look at several words now. I've jotted down, if you'd like to take the outline down, I have tonight about 7 words in talking about giving. And I'm sure most of you know this, but in 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there, chapter 8, if you would like, when you get home tonight, read the 8th and 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. It has to do primarily with giving, 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 giving. And brethren, I'm talking about giving of ourselves, our income, our gifts, our goods, our possessions, all of these things, and of ourselves, giving. Now, the first word is the word grace. It's found in verse 7, the word grace, the grace of giving. In verse 7, Paul says, therefore, as you abound in everything, abound means to overflow, to exceed, to accomplish, abound. You abound in faith, you believe. This is a household of believers, the church. Is a fellowship of believers. We all believe. We're growing in faith. I feel like we are. And utterance, that's the ability to teach and preach. We've got some teachers here. We've got some preachers. We've got some young men on Saturday night that can bless and thrill your heart with teaching God's Word. And many men here who are not preachers, you get together and you talk, and I listen to you, and you bring out points that are just such a blessing. You show study and it shows God's teaching and you're learning. You're bound in utterance and knowledge. You know the Scriptures. And in all diligence, you're faithful to the truth and faithful to the fellowship. You die for what you believe. And you're bound in love to us. That is, you love God's preachers. You love God's missionaries. There's no place on earth where a missionary or a preacher is treated better than right here. There's no place on earth. I've been to churches all over this nation and all over this world. And there's not a place in this world where ministers and their wives are treated better than they're treated right here. Just like an example, yesterday or Monday on a holiday, Elizabeth Thompson opened the beauty shop and gave Betty a permit. She didn't have to do that. It's her day off. But she did because she wanted to. And Walter's taken care of. And everybody, I don't hesitate to invite a preacher here and know that he's going to be taken care of. He's going to be... He'll go away from here plumb blessed. You're bound in love to us. That's what it's talking about, to the apostles and preachers and missionaries. You're bound in love to us. All right, watch this next line. See that you're bound in this grace also. What grace? The grace he's talking about, giving. See that you're bound in this grace also. See that you overflow. See that you exceed expectation. Now, there's no problem for me to regard faith as a grace. No question about it. Preaching is a grace. Knowledge is a grace. Faithfulness is a grace. Love is a grace. Do you know giving's a grace? It sure is. It sure is. It's also, see that you abound in this grace also. See that you overflow in this grace also. So that's the first word about giving. It's a work of grace in the heart. A man can no more be gracious unless he has partaken of God's grace. He can't do it. It's God that worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. So if you are gracious in your giving, it's because God has made you gracious. It's a grace. It's not a work, it's a grace. That's what it is. All right, second word, verse 8, second word. And that is the word love. Now, he said, I speak not by commandment. Here's what he's saying. I'm not ordering you to give. Oh, I wish I could have every preacher in the United States out here sitting before me tonight. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ordering you to give. I'm not commanding you to give. This is not a commandment. You're not commanded. You're not forced. But by the occasion of the forwardness of others, the example of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love, you give. You see, if you're commanded to give, now I want you to listen to this, and here's what's wrong with what we call pledge cards, what we call tithing, what we call duty giving. Here's what's wrong with it. Now, if I command you, suppose Paul's an apostle. I'm not. I can't command you to do anything. The apostles, I believe, could. But even he wouldn't command them to give, Bob. Even he wouldn't come in. Suppose that an apostle stood here before you with the authority of Christ vested in him and commanded you to give, commanded you to share, commanded you to show hospitality, commanded you to do it. Well, it wouldn't be love at all that motivated you. It'd be that commandment. It'd be a duty. Well, I'm doing it because I was told to. That's why I'm doing it. And there'd be no blessing there. None whatsoever. And then suppose, here's what a lot of preachers use. They use the element of fear. I've heard preachers say, if you don't tithe, God will take it out the door in a casket. And you heard that? I've heard preachers preach that if a person didn't give to the church, that their car would wear out or break down or house would burn down or the baby would get sick or their savings would all be eaten up by medical expenses. Just go on and on and on and on. When I suppose I give, suppose I take out my checkbook next Sunday and write a check for this church, or suppose that I serve someone next week, you need a hand and I give you a hand. I do it because I'm scared. If I don't, God will take it. God will make my baby sick. Wouldn't that be terrible? That's not love. That's not love. Or here's another motivation. The preacher says, give, and God will reward you. Now, if you give 10% of everything you have, they say, I promise you, God will bless you. Why, he says, they say God will open the windows of heaven and just flood you with blessings if you'll give 10%. Well, to begin with, it's not true. And then secondly, it's a mighty poor motive for giving. And thirdly, it would be a stench in the nostrils of God for me to bring him a gift expecting something from him in return. Now you put yourself, suppose you have a birthday or a Christmas and your some loved one comes and brings you a gift and you take it and open it and he said, now where's mine? And mine better be worth a little more than yours. Well, that's not, if a man truly loves, he'll share. If he truly loves, he'll give. That's what Paul says in this verse. I'm not going to command you. I'm not going to command you to give. But I'm going to prove the sincerity of your love. That's what we're going to do in this matter of sharing and giving and serving and giving of yourself and helping and praying and assisting. We'll find out if you really love that person. I just guarantee you, if you love someone, you're going to pray for them. And their burdens are your burdens, and their heartaches are your heartaches, and their joys are your joys, if you love them. Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He just said, I know that you will. And that's the second word about giving. It's a grace. It's a grace. We're selfish by nature. We're born greedy. We're born covetous. We're born selfish. We're born with, the first words we learn is me, I, me, and mine. That's about the first words we learn and the ones we use most frequently. I told somebody one time, if you take a group picture of a church and give them out Sunday, everybody in here would look for himself first on the picture. And you know, if it wasn't a good picture of us, we'd say, this is a terrible picture. It might be a good picture of everybody on there. But I had my eyes closed. Looked like the fella could have waited a little while longer. We'd rather everybody else look bad and us look good. We're so selfish. So it's a grace. And you say, well, I just can't get that spirit of giving. Well, you get it same place you got faith from the Lord. You get it same place you got love from the Lord. And second word, now here's the third word. Look at verse 12. And that is the word willing. Willing. Are you with me? He says in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind. If there be first a willing mind. That's where it starts. The little word first. You see that little word F-I-R-S-T? First. A willing mind. Don't, please. And I believe I can truthfully say this, and I believe I can speak for God. I believe I can speak for the 13th Street Baptist Church. Any gift or any assistance or any help or any service you render or any song you sing or sermon you preach that you present or give to this congregation or to the kingdom of God unwillingly and reluctantly, I believe I can say for every one of us, I'd just soon you not do it. I'd just soon you not do it. Because this is what he says about giving. There must first be a willing mind. A willing mind. Let's go back to Exodus and see where this all started in this matter of giving. Exodus 35. There must be first. And you fight that battle first in your own heart. Let's see if there is. It's like working in the conference. You ladies who prepare food to bring to the conference. If there's not a willingness, don't do it. Because God's not going to bless that. There must be first a willingness. You men who work about the building here and who do things, setting up tables and taking care of conferences, don't do it if there's not a willing mind. When you leave home, you say to her, I got to go down there and do this, you know, don't please stay home. Everybody'd be better off if you did. There's got to be a willing mind. You ladies who serve in the nursery and take care of the children while mothers enjoy the service, don't do it. Just please resign. Please do that if there's not a willing mind. You who teach classes, if there's not a willing mind, please resign. Let somebody in there has a willing mind that wants to witness, who wants to teach, who wants to serve Almighty God. Please. Because what you do is you rob us all of a blessing. Because God's not going to bless reluctant service. God's not going to bless that type of. He's not going to do it. If I come in this pulpit reluctantly or give reluctantly, it brings God's wrath upon the whole outfit. He's not going to bless it. That's the first little word. And Moses just kept saying that. Turn to Exodus 35. Let me show you the verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring. Now, which word did he use first, bring or willing? He said willing, then you bring. And I'm real serious about that thing. Don't do it if you're not willing. I'm just serious as I can be. Just as serious as I can be. First be willing, please, and I beg of you, in your gifts, please don't give unless you're willing. First, a willing heart. Because God doesn't need it. We don't need it. The kingdom of God doesn't need it. You're the one that needs it. Look down, if you will, at verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. They brought the Lord's offering. Verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. See, he just keeps on walking on that, doesn't he, Jay? Well, let's us walk on it. Our Lord said, no man takes my life from me. I willingly lay it down. He wasn't coerced to the cross, and you won't be coerced to his cross either. You'll come willingly. Look down here at verse 29, if you will. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. That's a big word, isn't it? But you know, our Lord, and if you want to read later, Mark 12:41, our Lord stood by the treasury. And I didn't see this till just recently. Somebody brought this out. I don't remember. One of the men here mentioned it. He didn't stand to see what the people gave. I know he commented that a lot of people brought great offerings, and the widow brought the mites, you know, and he said she given all. But the word used there, if you want to read it later in Mark 12:41, it says, our Lord stood there and watched how they gave. How they gave. Not how much, not what. He watched how they gave. The quantity is not important at all. Because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please, I wish everybody could understand it's not the quantity of our gifts. It's not the amount of our gifts at all. It's the spirit in which we give. It's not the gift, the quantity of the gift. It is the motive of the heart. Now watch this next line, 2 Corinthians 8:12. I want you to see something else. Now this is very important. Very important. And I'm going to destroy most people's idea of giving. Most of these fundamentalists and modern evangelists just going to tear it up right here. Now watch this, 2 Corinthians 8:12. It says there must be a willing mind. This is under the same word, willing. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. There's no way in this world that I can sign a card saying what I'll give to the Lord next month. I don't have it. I don't have it. Now, I know there are a lot of churches who have what we call a faith promise
missionary week. And this is how that operates.
They give everybody in the church a card. And this is popular among what we call grace churches. Everybody gets a card. Lloyd get a card. Woody get a card. Buddy Imes get a card. All you fellas get a card. Jim, Terry get a card. And you'd go home. Preacher would tell you, now we're going to have a special Sunday next Sunday. And you take your card home. You and your wife pray about it. And you and your wife see what you're willing to believe God for. Now, this is the language. I've been in this meeting, these meetings. I know what this says. And they put a lot of pressure on you, too. And they say, if you give a whole lot, the car won't break down. And Carolee's washer won't break down, because she don't use it enough for it to break down. But it wouldn't break down if she did use it, you know. But a lot of good things will happen. It wouldn't have happened. A lot of bad things won't happen. It would have happened. And this is the motivation. So you take your card home and you say, now, honey, let's give $50 a week above what we gave last week. That looks like a lot of good faith there, doesn't it? But you are giving what God hasn't given you. You're presuming on the mercy of God. And it's not faith at all. It's foolishness. Because you listen to that verse again. He says, first, there must be a willing mind. It is accepted according to... It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he does not have. See that, Herman? You don't give what you don't have. You give what you do have. You give what God's given to you. You give the first fruits of this year's harvest. You don't give next year's harvest. That's foolishness. There may not even be a harvest next year. And that's what's wrong with pledge cards. That's what's wrong with faith promise. We give, and it's accepted according to what you have and not what you do not have. We need to look at these things, all right? Turn to 2 Corinthians 9. As I told you, chapter 8 and chapter 9 deals with giving. Let's see word number 4. There is generosity. Generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5 and 6. Look at it. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty or your blessing, your offering, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready. In other words, Paul sent word to them, we need this now, and you take it up and have it ready when the men get there as a matter of bounty, not of covetousness. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly is going to reap the same way. And he that soweth bountifully is going to reap the same way. Somebody said one time there's a good bit of likeness between giving and sowing seed in a garden. When we sow seed in the garden, we usually get what we sow. In other words, I plow up my garden. I'm sowing wheat or oats or rye. And I go out here and I get a little handful, John, and I, you know, put a little seed out there. Well, that's what I'm going to have, a little harvest. What'd you get to the acre? Nothing. We didn't plant nothing. But here goes a man who invests everything he has in a whole sack of seed. And he goes out and just sows the seed, just puts it out there. That's what it's saying. I'll show you that in Galatians. Whole 2 Corinthians 9, and turn to Galatians. Here's a verse that's been quoted by every preacher in the United States. When he's talking about sin. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't they, Bill? You ever heard that? Remember. They go out here and warn these fellas, you're going to reap what you sow. No, you're not. I'm not. Christ has borne he's reaped my sins and paid for. I'm not going to reap what I sowed. I'm going to reap rewards and blessings and glory and a crown of righteousness. And I didn't sow that. I didn't sow that. I didn't sow any glory. I didn't sow any life everlasting. I didn't sow any mercy, but I'm going to reap it. But this got nothing to do with that. Now, let's look at it. Just look at Galatians verse 6, chapter 6. Verse 6. Now, let him that's taught in the word, that's you, communicate unto him that teacheth. That's me. That's preachers. That's those who minister the word. That's all who minister in the kingdom of God, in all good things. Don't be deceived now. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth to his flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, if you use everything for your own selfish pleasure, for your own material gain, for your own comfort, for your own luxury, and you don't sow it for the to the spirit and the spiritual world and the spiritual kingdom and the spiritual realm, you're going to reap. Yes, sir. You put all your money in the stocks. As they grow, you can build your bigger house. Buy your bigger farm. Drive your bigger car. Wear your nicer suit. Buy your whole wardrobe. You of the flesh reap corruption. And then it'll all fade away. Corruption. It'll all rot and decay and pass away. But what's the next line? He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap, if we faint not. Therefore, as we have therefore opportunity, therefore. What did Barnard say one time? When you see therefore, see what it's there for. It's talking about what went before. Therefore, as you have opportunity, let's do. You have any opportunity? Let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, don't ever use that verse again, going to somebody and wagging your finger under the nose and saying you reap what you sow. Not if you mean by that, that if he matches for pennies, he's going to go to hell, you know. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about just what he's talking about. He says if God's blessed you and you use it for the good and comfort and joy of others, you'll reap it. That's right. If you use it for yourself, ignoring the pleas and needs of others, then you've got troubles, because all of this flesh is going to decay and rot and go into nothing. All right, verse. Now, the fifth word. That word was generosity, or generously, liberality, sowing to the flesh, or sowing to the Spirit. All right, the next word. Chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, verse 7. The word is voluntary. Voluntary. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. No one sets your percentage. I know I've been places and offended people because all their lives. I remember when I was a boy at the church of which I was a member, made much of the 10% deal. Of course, they made nothing of the Sabbath day, and that's under the same dispensation, you know. But they made much of the 10% thing, and I was taught to every dollar I made as a paper boy to put aside 10 cents, and I hate to shatter our playhouses, but the Apostle Paul bucks that pretty strongly. He surely does. Every man as he purposes in his heart. I don't purpose for you. I don't purpose for you. No one sets your percentages. We're to give not reluctantly. We're to give not grudgingly. We're to give not, listen to it, not of necessity. You know what it says? Not of necessity. Not of necessity. We're to give not because it's expected, but we're to give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the tithe. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with it. In the Old Testament dispensation, they had the tithe of the crops and the tithe of the mint and anise and cumin and money and all these things that went to the support of the temple and so forth. And that was a national people. That was an earthly people. That was an earthly king. It was a typical people. Now, here's what's wrong with the tithe. It's not proportionate. Now, that's our next word. You turn to 1 Corinthians 16. There's nothing proportionately about it. You say, yeah, everybody gets 10%. Now, wait a minute. That's not proportionately, and that's not with equality. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Now, in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, you do the same thing. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. I guess you'd call that systematically, Jay. That's every Sunday, every Lord's Day, upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by in store. That doesn't mean storehouse tithing now. I know some fellas built an old doctrine on that, storehouse tithing. You know, you give it to the church and nowhere else. Well, I tell you this, this church has a freedom to designate. Last month, some of you designated $1,000 to the missionaries. I sent $200 to five different missionaries because you had them on your heart. I remember one time, let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Right? You pray about your gifts. I know the expenses of this church must be met. And I know systematic giving by all of our people together. And the pastor, if he can't lead in the giving and do, he's got no business asking the people to. But now, suppose you've got a burden about some mission. I remember I was down in Mexico and I was talking to Walter. At Kevin, Bob was a little boy. This was years ago. And Milton Howard's wife was about to have a child, and she had some kind of disorder, Rh-negative blood or something, where the baby died when it was born. And I said, Milton, where's she going to have that baby? He said, well, ought to have it in Houston's where she ought to have it. I said, well, our church will pay for it. You bring her on to Houston. You bring her on to Houston, and this church will pay for it. Somehow we'll take care of $500-$600 back then. And so he was so grateful, and he got Claudia and brought her back to Houston to have her baby. The baby died. But anyway, he met a pastor in Memphis, Tennessee at a conference. Milton walked in the room, and he met a pastor of a church in North Carolina. And the pastor looked at him and said, what are you doing in the States, Milton? He said, we came up here, my wife's having a baby. He said, since when did we pay you missionaries to come to the States to have your babies? That's grace, isn't it? Milton said, I couldn't have a litter of puppies on what you'd give me. I like that. I'm just glad you weren't there. He words things stronger than that. But anyway, Walter said to me, he said, I said, what's wrong, Kevin? He said, he's got a hole in his eardrum. And it's got to be taken care of. Got to be. He's going to lose his hearing. And I said, well, we got this project with Milton's wife and baby, and I just can't take another one right now, but we'll take care of it, Walter. Some God will open a door. He'll open a door. So with Milton's wife had the baby and paid for, and he left the States, and I left home on Sunday morning and started over here at the church, and I'd made up my mind that morning I was going to ask the church to let's do something about Walter's boy. And I walked in the tape room over there, and one of the men came by, and he said, Henry, he said, I've had Walter on my heart all week. I've been burdened about him, troubled. Is something wrong with Walter? I said, no. But he said he needs something, because I just can't get him off my heart. Well, I said he needs about $1,000. His boy's got trouble. What's his boy's trouble? I told him. He said, we'll take care of that. And I see that's what I mean by designation. If you say, I just don't think to do things for people. If we get out of this little old circle that's about a foot in diameter and project our prayers and project our thoughts and project our affections away from me and my wife and my son John and his wife and us four and no more, we'll get those feelings. That's right, isn't it, Joe? It's absolutely right. So this thing proportionate. Now look at here. He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. How? Comma, as God hath prospered him. Now this boy right here, what am I going to give? I'm going to give as God prospered me. If I've had a slow week, then I'm going to give as God prospered. If I have a good week, I'm going to give as God prospers me. That's how I'm going to give. Now, here's what's wrong with tithing. Here's a widow who gets $5,000 a year. About that. She's required by the Southern Baptist Church or whatever, Nazarene or whatever, to give 10%. That leaves her $4,500 to live on, doesn't it, Ronnie? $4,500. That's to pay her house rent and her groceries and her utilities and her food and everything. Here's a man that makes $50,000 a year. 10%? How much he got to live on? $45,000. To pay his rent, pay his utility, buy his groceries. She got $4,500. Is that equality? That's not equality. That's not even proportionately. It's not even fair. And it's not grace. And I ain't going to preach it. Now, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 8. Let me show you something else over here. And if anybody asks you about tithing, you just tell them that that's what Moses taught. Moses taught a few other things, typically, symbolically, that are not binding on believers today. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 13. Now watch this. Now, I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. Your abundance may be a supply, Joe, for somebody's want. That's the reason God gave you the abundance. Not that you might slip him 10%, but that you might more abundantly meet somebody's need. You're in better position to meet their need. That's the reason I said if we bought these houses back here, I would expect some men to give very sizable contributions according as God's prospered them. I would expect someone else to give smaller contributions according as God has prospered them. That's grace giving. That's New Testament giving. That's spiritual giving. Tithing is law giving. By inequality, circle that word. And now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality. There may be equality. That's what we're talking about, proportionately. As God enables me to give, I give. And this is that somebody said, well, don't pass the plate. Everybody know what you're giving. Now, wait a minute. There's no need to hide this thing. You know exactly what God gives me each week, what I have. It's in the financial report. What's the use of me sneaking around, slipping my gift back here behind the pulpit somewhere? And it doesn't matter. We know that there are widows in this church who give. Everybody, every one of you, he said. You say, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to. That's right. You're a little paper boy. You can't afford not to give. If you love Christ and you want to share in the ministry of the gospel, everyone. Yeah, but I can't give as much as others. You're not expected to. You're not expected to. And anyone who expects you to has got a problem themselves. We know what we're capable of doing. We know what each other are capable of doing. And we're brothers. This is a family. We don't need to hide from one another and sneak around and do our... I know giving is to be... And here's the next word. Turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. But now this takes care of the plate or the box or whatever. In Romans 12, verse 8, listen to this. Back here in verse 6. Let's go back to Romans 12, 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. Are you with me? Our grace differs. I pick out any Russell May's gifts are different from mine. I don't imagine Russell will be pastoring this church next year. That's not his gift. I tell you, he's the best, most faithful, competent finance committee man that you find anywhere. That's his gift. He's faithful. Tell him something to do 2 weeks from now and forget it. It'll be done. It's his gift. Different one of you have different gifts. Gift, prophecy, preaching, that's a gift. Preaching's a gift. Or let's wait on our ministry. Let's wait on our ministry. See verse 7, or teaching. Some of you got the gift of teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. You mean, preacher, that I can't preach and I can't teach and I can't do it, but I can give and that's a gift? You bet your boots it is. Who gave it to you? Who gave it to you? Who maketh you to differ? What do you have you didn't receive? You didn't make it yourself. God gave it to you. Giving is a gift right along with preaching. This is our ministry, ladies and gentlemen. Not my ministry. God can replace me just like he can replace you. No problem whatsoever. Spurgeon's dead. Calvin's dead. Luther's dead. Whitfield's dead. Owen's dead. And the gospel goes on. And I'll be dead. And the gospel will go on. You will too. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now, Jay and I worked that word over today. Didn't we, Martha? We three of us in there. What is this simplicity here? It's the virtue of one that's free from pretense. Give as one that's free from pretense without self-seeking.
Without, that's what it means, Jim, without self-seeking. That's hard to do, too. Do you know that? It's not easy. It takes grace. Not to seek something in return. Not to seek praise. Not to seek self. Anything, just give, hoping for nothing in return. Give, not hoping for usury. Just give. Not self-seeking and free from pretense. Oh, to be able to give and to serve, as our Lord said, as unto the Lord. And read on there. He says, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy. You mean to show mercy to someone with cheerfulness is a gift? Yes, sir. We have exaggerated preaching in the kingdom of God to the point that we have discouraged the real gifts of God, Jeff. We really have. These musicians, that's gifts. These songers, that's gifts. People that pray, that's a gift. Folks that have a warm, kind handshake and word of greeting, that's a gift. Man that forgives another. The man that there's a disturbance in the church and he pours water or oil on the troubled waters, that's his gift. Isn't that right, Cecil? Got a gift. We got some men around here that's got that gift, too. They've settled me down many a time. Just hold it, preacher. Just hold it right there. That's a gift. Use your gift. And because you can't get up behind a pulpit and shout doesn't mean you're not important in the kingdom of God. You're so very important. Let love. You mean love's a gift to show love to someone? That's right. All the way down. So many gifts. But what I'm pointing out is he that giveth, let him do it without pretense. Let him do it without sounding a trumpet. Let him do it without self-seeking. Let him do it as unto the Lord. And turn to Hebrews 13. And let me close this message with this word. Hebrews 13, verse 15 through 16. Now it says here in Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God is well pleased. Don't you like that? To do good and communicate, don't forget, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And we go back and pick up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks, to do good and to communicate not. These are all that which is well pleasing to God. Little hymn. What shall I render to my God for all his kindness shown? My feet shall visit his house, my songs address his throne. Among the saints that fill his house, my offering shall be laid. There shall my zeal perform the vows my soul in faith to him hath made. How happy all his servants are, how great his grace to me. My life, which he has made his care, Lord, I commit to thee. Now I'm thine, forever thine, nor shall my purpose move. Thy hand hath loosed my bonds of pain and bound me to thee with thy love. What belongs to the Lord? Really, when you sum this whole thing up, what part is God's part? What part's my part? It all belongs to the Lord. I'm his, my family, my home, my children, my wife, my friends, my health, my savings, my salary. It all belongs to the Lord, and I want him to make me a good steward of his grace. I don't mean that we're to take what God has entrusted in our care and act foolishly. God doesn't use foolish men. He uses wise men, wise, generous men, wise, merciful men, wise, gracious men, wise, spirit-led men. And I believe we spend enough time before the throne and be willing to act as God gives us his leadership, that if we will to do his will, we'll find it if we wait on him. Our Father, only you can anoint this message and these words we read from the Scriptures and make them a blessing to us and make them understandable to us and make them to result in Christ's glory and the good of this church and this congregation. Be our teacher in this hour. And let us all, with a quietness of spirit, look into the things which have been said, into the Scripture that have been read, and where it crosses our tradition and our custom and our habits and all of these things. Lord, give us a surrendering heart, a submissive heart, a willing heart to give of ourselves. Take me, Lord, and use me. Use me to make somebody happy. Use me to relieve somebody's pain and heartache. Use us. Cast ourselves, not just our money, which is not ours but thine, but ourselves on the altar before our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.